The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
At Carrabba's Italian Grill, folks always seem to be saying,
wow!
Especially now, because you can take home our delicious made-from-scratch lasagna, layered pasta with meat sauce, creamy ricotta, and mozzarella cheese, absolutely free.
Homemade lasagna for free? Wow!
Order one of your Carrabba's favorites, Chicken Brian, Chicken Marsala, or Pollo Rosso Maria, and you can take home our made-from-scratch lasagna.
For tomorrow night's dinner, free? Wow!
Hurry into Carrabba's today and get a free homemade lasagna for tomorrow, now through January 29th.
Wow!
Carrabba's, Italian worth talking about.
Blog Talk Radio.
If I speak for your followers, and I speak for your ex-followers, and I speak for the curious outsiders looking in, and you remain silent in the shadows and don't let your balls drop enough to come out and say something, then I say, who do you speak for, Mr. Miscavige?
Anything on earth that says, don't listen to your mum and dad, don't talk to your mum and dad, that's bad.
Yeah, absolutely believes his own bullshit. Now, does that mean he believed it from day one? I don't know.
Hubbard reveals to them that he is the Antichrist.
Scientology has not helped you. You have helped yourself.
Yes, I'm absolutely positive that happened because I was physically abused in Scientology.
We're crossing the line into torture.
Do you think there is a rape culture in Scientology?
I think that there is a culture in Scientology that children are not children. So, yeah.
So this week, my guest today is the host with Mike Rinder of Scientology in the Aftermath on A&E TV. She's author of the book Troublemaker, and most famously, I guess, other than King of Queens, the next Scientologist. She is indeed Leah Remedy. Welcome to the show, Leah.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. What the hell are you doing on my show?
Well, that's funny. You're like, I know I'm not big enough, and I said that has nothing to do with it. It's not about being big. It's about people who support us. I always want to talk to, but sometimes people reach out on social media and. That's not usually the way it's done. Like in this business, you usually call somebody's publicist or, and do it that way. But, I'm not snotty when it comes to doing interviews because I believe, that people who are supporting us, deserve to be talked to.
No, I really appreciate it because I know that there is a lot of, and I'm gonna address some of that throughout the interview here. There's a lot of misconceptions about who you are, mm-hmm. and I'm privy to some things, so we'll talk about that a little bit. But us little guys, us little podcasts, the ones that haven't been established big time and syndicated, we don't have that booking strength, so we have right. to reach out on social media, and it's hard to do.
Yeah, but what I'm saying with you is that you and I talk directly. I mean, I didn't go through my publicist.
Right. That's true.
This is the first time they're going to hear that I am doing something without.
Will they be upset?
They don't get upset, but they just like, we should just know what interviews you're going to do. And we like to, listen, they get paid to do a job, right? They get paid to qualify what people are going to say or, not be disrespectful to what we're doing. And, be gossipy because that's not what we want to do. We don't want to be on shows that gossip and just try to start trouble for ratings. So, they have a job to do.
Yeah, about the ratings. Yeah, we'll talk about that. And I do appreciate you. You put a lot of trust in me here, but it helps that we have a mutual partner in the battle against the crimes of Scientology and Melissa Paris. I know she's a scary lady, and so are you. And anything scarier is the two of you on the same page.
Well, I never want people to be, the right people are not scared of us.
No.
Yeah, and she's amazingly upright and brave, as well her sister. And I'm just happy to get to know her, and she's been amazing support. And that, you know, listen, we all need each other. We all need to support each other. It's not easy to come out of a cult, and not many people understand it unless they are in something very similar. And so I'm a big supporter of people who get that it's one thing where we come off strong, but we're also maneuvering our way through this life without a cult. And that's not an easy thing. Even though, you know, you get out of a bad relationship, you still have to find who you are. And it's not an easy thing to do.
No, I don't imagine it is. And it's interesting because, you know, the way this interview was set up, you know, I have not received a notification that most places you interview receives, right? They usually send out some Scientology's, I guess, the legal department. They send a letter warning you, this is not our view that Scientology, this is a desperate actress in the wanes of her career, desperately trying to stay in the limelight, trying to get ratings, all the negative things they can find about you. And I don't know if people have noticed this, and I don't know if you like me bringing this up, but what they do is kind of strategic in the way that they've taken things from your past, from your life, and kind of intertwined them into these letters. Am I imagining that? Are they not using Sharon Osbourne's tweet from when you had the dispute on the talk in their letters?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll give you an example. What I mean is they're saying Lyra Remini needs to grow up and move on. That is directly from Sharon Osbourne's tweet.
Okay.
You didn't even notice
that. It doesn't matter to me. I don't know.
But they're trying to use that to get to you, and it's ridiculous.
Well, it doesn't get to me, and you know, it's childish. It, you know, let's remind everyone this is a church.
Right.
Well, I'm not calling it a church. I'm saying this is a cult or a business masquerading around as a church. It's just shocking to me that it continues in this manner. I mean, having people do videos from my past, from my mother's past, I'm speechless. Even on the phone with you, I find it to be absolutely just pure evil. I don't have other words. It's just evil.
It's disgusting. If it's putting out your book and putting out and really doing the show Aftermath, I mean, they've actually poured it on. Like, I don't remember since 2013, past 2013 when you left, I don't remember what they used to blame anything bad that happened in Scientology on, because everything's been because of you. If something goes wrong, Lyra Remini did it.
It's funny because they should share in the criticism, yeah, because if I was raised in Scientology, the things that they say I am...
they made you.
Should be attributed to them and their technology. We are all damaged from being raised in this cult by its policies. We're still navigating through those feelings and the way we operate with people. And yes, we're fighters. That's what they taught us to be. And I just don't get how people don't see that. It's like, well, I was in it for 35 years. I mean,
right?
So they should share it in the responsibility of making it.
If LRH Tech worked, you would be thriving in Scientology, and there would
well,
be no one complaining.
I also take offense at that, because to imply that anyone's successful or not successful because of their association with the organization, it only works when they're criticizing you, right?
Right.
Well, the Scientology was great. She was successful. I was successful and not successful when I was in Scientology, right? As you can say that about any celebrity Scientologist. Like, every celebrity Scientologist, they have failures. They're still in the church. Do I blame the church for that? you know, somebody's show got canceled. Oh, I mean, if I wasn't in the church and I had a show that got canceled, they'd be saying, oh, look at her. She's a failed actress. But if I was in the church, they'd be like, no, she's successful. She was just on a bad show. You know, they would turn it around. So it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, you cannot gauge somebody's success or failures when there's a constant in the person's life, right? You have to take that out of the equation. It wasn't because, and it wasn't not because. You know what I'm saying?
No, I absolutely know what you're saying. And it goes with family as well. If you, a successful religion makes you closer with family, closer with your neighbors, closer with everybody.
Well, if that were the case, then I was very unsuccessful
right. That
way. Because
right. That
is not what Scientology teaches.
No.
They say they value family. They say they have these. But we all know that's a lot. That's a PR campaign.
It's amazing because I've read your book, and the funny thing is, if anyone ever read your book, and if everything in the book is accurate, every criticism about you is absolutely the reverse of who you really are, in my opinion. All right, because people keep saying how you're a fame whore or something like that. You just want the fame, you want the name, you want the money. Fame and celebrity is the only thing that kept your family. Going, it felt like, from your story. Like, if you don't become famous, if this celebrity thing doesn't work out, your family starves. So, it was probably one of the more unselfish things, in my eyes, that you push yourself through all these rejections and all these opportunities and all these shows that you were on. You were doing everything you could not to be the pretty face on the magazine, which I'm sure was something you enjoyed, I'm sure any of us would, but to make sure your family got the living comfort.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm the provider for my family, but again, I wouldn't speak to those ridiculous allegations. Every actor, you could say that about every actor, every artist, they're a fame whore. Okay, what do people do? This is the business we're in. Right.
Right. Well, I expect you to want fame if you're going to be doing that business. Yeah, that's why I get mad.
Well, no, people don't usually go into a field because they want fame. That's a childish kind of viewpoint, right? Like, I want to be a star. Usually people are in the field of the arts because they have something that they are passionate about.
I would hope so.
You know, songwriters is writing songs because they want to move people in some way, right? An artist is painting because they want someone to be moved by that painting. And people act because they want people to laugh or they want people to be moved in some way. So no, when I was a child trying to audition and get jobs, I wasn't thinking I wanted fame. I was thinking, I love what I do. I love seeing the reaction of people laughing, you know, from Lucille Ball. You know, I used to sit at home watching Lucille, you know, Lucy, and hiding, you know, like, because she would do so many crazy things. I was so embarrassed. Like, Ricky's going to know this. Ricky's going to know what you're doing. And, you know, hearing people laugh in the audience, you know.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, what a powerful thing to do. I wasn't thinking this as a kid, but I knew that she was doing something that was making people laugh, and I wanted to do that. And so no real artist says, I want to be in this for fame. Of course, you want to be successful at it.
Right.
You want your family to be able to eat and live a good life, right? But that's not really why you go into it. I cannot say why the Church of Scientology is doing what they're doing and has been doing since its inception. I can't say with every piece of me that they got into it for any other reason but for control and money.
Right, celebrity is important.
$3 billion in assets selling people their eternity.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Big difference.
Big difference. Yeah.
Big difference. And you've seen both sides. You've seen the celebrity side. You know, the better treatment, and you've seen the who do you think you are treatment, and, you know, living in the bad conditions. You've done both.
Mhm.
So how sheltered are the celebrities from the kind of things that the typical Sea Org member would see?
Well, there's three categories. There's the Sea Org, the employees of the Church of Scientology, and there's regular civilian Scientologists, and then there's celebrity Scientologists. And even in the celebrity Scientology category, there's a hierarchy, and there's more important celebrities than other celebrities. And that's fine. I mean, when I was in, I was like, well, of course, going to say it, and I'll say it now. I never thought I was on the same level as Tom Cruise when it came to who was the bigger star. I knew that he was.
Right.
It was never, and there was never an issue with that. It was like, yes, he's getting Scientology out to millions. This is what we're told. He's getting millions off of drugs. He's saving the planet single-handedly. I mean, this is what we all believed. And so we served in that way. And that was our job as celebrities within the organization, was to flow power to him in any way that we could, and to protect him in any way that we could. And that was our, what they would call our hats, you know, our jobs.
Okay.
As other celebrity Scientologists. And that's what we did.
Did that feel weird?
No, because I do love to serve. You know, I mean, if you know me personally, I'm if you're in my home, I'm literally waiting on you hand and foot. I love helping people. I love serving people. And I believed in my heart, and so did other celebrities, that Tom was doing these things and that he was getting the message out to the world and that he was doing amazing things, getting the black labels on drugs. You know, like, this is what we were being told, you know, that it was because of Tom that danger warning signs were being put on psychotropic drugs, and greatly affected the pharmaceutical companies abusing Medicaid. You know what I mean? Like, this is what we were being told.
Right.
And we believed it. So, of course, I wanted to help him. Was it weird? No.
He was doing amazing stuff, supposedly.
Who are helping people? No, it's not weird.
He's supposedly doing amazing stuff. I mean, why wouldn't you support that, right?
Yeah, especially when I believed in Scientology. I mean, I believed in what we were doing. You know, we were going after the psychs that were abusing people, and we were, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that now, psychiatrist?
Well, you know, now I'm in therapy, which is a big no-no in Scientology. Listen, do I think that no abuses are going on in the field? Of course, like, nobody's down with that. Like, nobody's going to, you hear me?
Right.
You can't be that stupid to go, no abuses are going on here. They're not over-medicating people. Of course not, right? But that's not what we're talking about. This is a full-on assault from the very moment Scientology was created. It was a full-on assault with the AMA, with psychiatry, with any government agency, the IRS, the FBI, the CIA. I mean, this is in their policies over and over again. These are the enemies of Scientology. Over and over again. So you grow up with that mentality, which is why a lot of people in cults, not just in Scientology, do not report crimes to the police.
Mm.
It's because they are taught to believe that their cult law says that that's illegal.
And this,
in Scientology, it is literally categorized as a high crime. A high crime.
Wow.
To report a Scientologist to the authorities. And further, they believe that whatever's wrong with the person will get fixed in Scientology. So it's not even so sinister. You know, people actually believe that if they turn them over to the police or to a psychiatrist, that they would be lost forever spiritually.
Mm.
So they believe that they're helping them by not handing them over to the system. And some could argue that that might be true.
Right? So, do you let people off the hook for that when you know people who've seen and overseen?
Excuse me?
When you see that there's people who've seen and overseen crimes within Scientology that should be reported to the police, are you prone to let them off the hook once they come out because of the brainwashing and the indoctrination? Do you think that's okay?
Wait, I want to be clear. I just want to be clear about what you're asking me. You mean in present day?
Yeah, present day, they're out of science. I'll give you an example. The previews for season 2 two of Aftermath are powerful. You're covering the stuff that probably needs to be covered. And you're talking to Mike Rinder about what he would have been involved in, what he would have seen, and how he would have handled it. And how you come to terms, and I'm not trying to trash Mike, but how do you come to terms with if he said, I did that, I covered that? Is that, where's the line? I've asked Melissa this, I've asked other people this. Where's the line between, yeah, you did bad things, but you didn't know better, versus, I don't care what the church was teaching you, you should have known this. How do you draw that line?
I don't believe that, the latter. They didn't know better. They didn't know better. That's the truth.
So you think there's no line?
Well, do I think there's a line? Yes, they can do something now. Mike is doing something now.
Right.
So, no, what I do find fault with and what I do take issue with is people now, out or in, data is available to them now as it wasn't before. The internet was not available to certain people and is not, even in present day, for Sea Org members, for certain Sea Org members, right? They're completely sequestered when you're talking about Gold Base up in Riverside or near Hemet, right?
California. Right.
They don't have any internet. They don't leave the base. They don't leave there. And if they do, they're with a handler. So for those people, I understand. They are completely sequestered. And people who are in cults often come out not even knowing who their president is. So it's not, you know, unless you really, you just have to understand the mentality. I'm talking about now, right? Here we are now. We have things we can do. If people know of crimes that were committed, it is their duty and their responsibility to go to the authorities and speak.
They still can.
The more that they don't, they still can. The more that they don't, the more that they are agreeing with this criminal mentality. Mike is doing something. Mike is paying for what he did. It is not fun for Mike Rinder to sit up there on television and have to listen to these stories. He did not know about, a lot of people think Mike knew about a lot of things he didn't know. Oftentimes Mike was being reprimanded and held against his will. Mike didn't know about everything that was going on, and certainly Mike is shocked at the things that he's hearing now.
Yeah, I value a lot someone's ability to take ownership and to actually acknowledge what they've done and actually make proactive actions towards correcting that. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to call Mike out, and that was just the example that was available.
No, I wasn't mad at you. I just wanted to make sure that I answered your exact question.
You did a good job with the answer. I like the answer. Now, clearly there is a line of someone, the people who are actually doing the crime sometimes, the crime itself, I think is inexcusable. I'm careful how I say it. Sexual assault. I don't know if I could ever say, well, because you thought that no children were children, it's okay. You know, that's a line for me,
well,
I think.
No, I don't think that they think it's okay. I think they think that, you know, Scientologists believe that children are just old spirits in little bodies. So that's the first thing. The second thing that Scientologists believe is that anything that happens to you is your fault. They also believe that the person who is committing these heinous acts will get fixed with Scientology technology. It's not that they're sitting around going, isn't that great that they're hurting children? They're thinking, wow, that person really needs help with Scientology. So in their defense, I'm not saying they think they're sitting around thinking it's okay. They just think that the person's going to get fixed.
Well, just to clarify, I'm not talking about the one who would cover it up. I'm talking about the one that did the action. I mean, one could argue they already had something in their head wrong to begin with, but go ahead.
listen, you're never going to get a fight from me. People who commit crimes against children are, you're just dead to me as a person. Literally dead to me as a person. So I'm not defending. I'm just giving you the mentality of the Scientologist.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the person doing it, I'm sure, feels horrible of the monster that they are. But they believe that with Scientology, they can fix themselves.
All right. There's a, you seem to come out pretty good, considering. I mean, not everything was is roses for you. But you got your mom to come out with you. And I know she was really, into it. And I remember you talking to Joe Rogan about how excited she was for you to learn OT3, which of course is the Xenu story. How did you get her to come with you, as opposed to how many families will turn their back at that point? Was it that you guys remained so close during your time in California, as opposed to when people were kept separated?
Well, not everybody's separated. Because if you're not in the Sea Org, I wasn't
right.
in the Sea Org my whole life. I was just in the Sea Org for a year in Florida. But I think because we had East Coast roots and we had a strong family bond, and I was really blessed to be in a have a career that was outside of the hands of Scientology. I didn't depend on Scientology for my employment. And neither did my family, which is not usual. Usually, Scientologists work for other Scientologists, and so their money comes from being connected to another Scientologist.
You're almost trapped in, even if you want to leave.
You're not almost trapped. You're trapped. Your whole family's usually, everybody you work with is usually a Scientologist. All of your real friends are Scientologists, and any other friends you have outside the circle of Scientology is really just to sell Scientology to them. So it's all kind of set up that your life is very insular, you know, very about Scientology. So I think that had a lot to do with it. Their livelihood did not depend on Scientologists. And I think because we had a very strong family bond, and that, in the end, is what saved us to stay together, is that we were talking to each other after we were told not to talk to each other.
Right. I mean, the you guys are described often as rebellious, but that rebelliousness is kind of what kept you guys together, it seems.
Yes, we were rebelling against a dictatorship, yes.
So, I mean, everybody who left, I mean, lost something, whether it be family, time of their life. Some people, and it's tragic, even their stories are tragic, just the years of their lives that they lost, that they could have been pursuing other goals or other options in life. What is it that you feel like you lost?
I don't feel like I lost anything. I feel I was put on this path for a reason. And, you know, I can't look back and regret because I wouldn't be here now. I mean, honestly, I think that this was really happened for a reason.
Okay. Good. Because I know you said something somewhere about how you had an 8th grade education.
You know, things like that. Of course. I wish I had gone to school. I wish I went to college. I wish I was smarter, you know?
You're doing pretty good. Although, you're doing pretty good regardless. I listen.
No, but, you know, my daughter was doing algebra last night, and she was carrying on because she had a test. I looked at the book, and I was like, I don't know what in the hell this is. Not. I can't help you, you know? I don't even know what you do. I don't even know what this is. Like, why equals minus and times it? I don't know what this is.
I'm laughing because I'm the same way, and I have a college degree, so it's not that bad.
Right, that makes me feel better. You know, but I would have loved to have been, a lawyer, or I would have loved to have been able to fight for people in a way that, would maybe affect a great number of people. I love the idea of social activism, and this is why I think Scientology speaks to a lot of people because you believe you're doing, amazing things for the world. And, you know, yes, very often I wish I had gone to school. But again, you know, if you said, okay, right now, would you like to change that? I'd be like, no. Because I wouldn't have my daughter. I wouldn't have my family exactly the way it is, you know?
Right. I love that answer.
So I can't say, you know, that I regret it. I can't because I'm doing what I love to do. I feel like I'm helping people, and the people that are doing our project are taking a stand. You know, a lot of times people go, well, what are you doing? I go, the show. The people
right.
who come on, you know, they come on knowing they're going to get attacked from the Church of Scientology. They know they're going to get a hate website. They know they're going to have their whole family turned against them. They know they're going to be shunned by any association with any Scientologist. It's quite brave just to be on this show.
It really is.
They're doing amazing things. And, you know, like people like Melissa and her sister and you know, her group right there. It's like they're doing amazing things already by speaking out and defending those who have done so, who have already spoken out, and, you know, their stories are atrocious, atrocious, like, just when you think it can't get any worse, you know, it continues to get worse. I thought I would just be doing these disconnection stories, the FBI would watch this, or the Department of Justice would watch, you know, see this and go, this is crap, we got to do something about this, you know?
Yeah.
So the more people speak out, the more people take a stand against this kind of bully, and this kind of evil in the world, and I'm not just talking about Scientology, because there's a lot of evil in the world.
There is.
We can start making changes. We can't just keep sitting by going, isn't that crazy? This one sits on the computer for 12 hours looking at how to make a bomb. That's must, you know, we got to start getting in there and saying, hey, you need some help.
How do we not notice that?
You might hurt some people. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
No, we need more proactiveness in all areas of life.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think that you're well in your way. I mean, you are smart. Believe it or not, you're doing pretty well.
Thank you.
No, I mean, I had to do the audiobook. I didn't read it because, one, I didn't have time. And two,
I appreciate it regardless.
I listened to the audiobook because I wanted to hear you tell your story. And the articulations there, and of course your personality and an actor, so it was a pleasure to listen to. It was very fun.
Thank you.
Well, fun except for the parts that weren't. The thing about it is that you're regardless of your age, you've got time to do more, and you will do more. And I really believe that. I think you got a lot going here.
Thank you.
Was there anything, you're very welcome, was there anything that you saw while you were in Scientology? I know there's some stories that are already told in interviews and in books, but anything that stood out that, like, at the time you blew off, but today you look back and go, what the hell was I thinking?
You know, it started to get, no, I mean, it was, it took me 6 years to get out, you know, so because a lot of people ask me, what was the thing? It wasn't one thing, you know, it was 6 years of me trying to stay in. It was like I was trying to make it right. I was like, help me to understand why all these executives, former senior executives of Scientology are all leaving and saying the same thing. Please help me to understand that. Please help me to understand why when I ask about the leader's wife, I am being interrogated at my expense. Why is it that every time I have a disagreement with how we do things or what we believe, I get punished? Why is it that every time I hear about a victim being hurt, do I hear that they were then made to feel like they were responsible for having that happen to them? It was like 6 years of this. You know what I mean? It wasn't one thing. It's. I only wish I had looked earlier on the internet. You know, people ask that all the time. Well, how come there are Scientologists? There's Scientologists on the internet. They just are not allowed to look at anything negative about Scientology. They're just told to say that we're lying, that we're bigots, that we're racist. These are the insults they continue to hurl at anybody who speaks out. And it, by the way, it's not just reserved for people who are used to be in the church. This is, they've said this about Anderson Cooper. They said this about Lawrence Wright. They said it about Alex Gibney. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, if you're an ex-Scientologist or, you know, a noted writer,
right,
an Oscar winner, you know, Pulitzer Prize winner, they will call you the same thing. A bigot, a liar, a racist, someone trying to look for fame, somebody with a failed career, and I don't think the people that I mentioned you could ever say are people of failed careers.
No one's failing.
Their name.
Huh? They're not failing, no.
Exactly. So again, I hate to make that distinction that they're successful or not successful. There's many unsuccessful Scientologists. But that doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying?
I could make some jokes, but I won't.
No, I don't either. Because it's degrading. It's
right.
Degrading to play that game. It really is.
Sure.
And it takes the focus off of actually people's lives being destroyed by this business of Scientology. And they can hurl insults at me all day, all night. You will not find a shortage of people who will call me an asshole, because I can be, okay? So, and I said that from the very beginning. I never said I was perfect. I've never said I've been a perfect daughter, a perfect wife, a perfect mother, a perfect friend, you know? I'm not any of those things. Now, put that aside. Let's get on to the stuff that you're doing, that you continue to not take responsibility for, and that's the Church of Scientology. So you can carry on with all this bullshit, and I'll continue to say, right, okay, I'm an asshole, okay, I'm a bitch, okay,
right,
I'm selfish. Okay, now, let's get on to the abuses, and let's get on to the people that you hurt.
All right,
what did you say about that?
We've established all my faults now.
Correct.
I love it.
I
love it.
Get to all of them.
A lot of those faults are the reason, are actually part of the reason that people love you, though. So, I love that you're an asshole sometimes. I do.
Thank you.
So that would go along with, if I was to ask you, like, what was the point after leaving that you realized, because you still have that time frame after you left where you're still recuperating and overcoming it, was there a point where you're like, oh shit, this was all a lie? Or again, is it a progression of things?
It's a progression. And then, you know, it's like even, you know, doing this project, you know, I often have to look in my old books to find the things to be on the show, because I keep saying, well, you know, this is not something I think. This is something that I was taught. This is not something that I think. This is Scientology. So it's very important to me that we put in the actual Scientology. This is written down. This is not something that I made up.
Right.
And I read it, and I go, God, wow. I believe this. I subscribe to this. And it's still happening. It's still shocking me today, going, Leah, where was your mind? It was completely held prisoner.
I was going to ask you that. When I'm watching Aftermath through season one, I've seen the look on your face.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if you're an actress. These are legitimate looks of shock and amazement. You're still shocked by these stories.
Still shocked. Still shocked. Because remember, the enemies of the church, in my view, were not people like me, not people like my mother, or Mary Kahn, or Amy Scobie, or Melissa's of the world. You know what I'm saying? We never thought like that it was talking about people like us. It was these bad demon people.
Yeah.
It was demon people who didn't want good things in the world, who didn't want peace, who didn't want harmony, who didn't want people to be off drugs, who didn't want to save people's marriages. You know, these are the people that I thought were the evil ones we were talking about in these policies of attack and never defend. Right?
Right.
That's the church policy, is attack and never defend. And so, yes, I'm still shocked by it. I'm still shocked by the evil. Yes, even to this day, when I see a video of a former friend or family member, I'm like, This is pure evil at work. This is what you're doing with your time?
That's crazy. And that's where all the money goes. It goes into stuff like that. The detective.
Could you imagine the money that they have if they actually put it into the world? What good it can do? The kind of energy?
I hope
that they have for me and people like me. Mothers and fathers who dedicated their lives, whose children have been taken from them. I mean, could you put that energy and put into something good? Could you imagine?
I hope someday the Scientology fails to the point to where all these orgs they've opened, all these locations they've opened are put into housing. That's what I want to see happen.
That would be amazing.
Use for housing.
That would be amazing. Yeah. I love that idea.
In a related note, I get told all the time, and this might be some of what you were just talking about from the Scientology mindset, people will say to me, because I'm not an ex-Scientologist, if I talk negative and I trash Scientology, they want to save me now. Oh, why don't you find it for yourself and go to your local org? But they don't listen when I tell them I've been to the local org, and the Orlando org is locked, the lights are out, and there's nobody home during business hours.
Yeah. They say we'd be happy to send you information or go to our website. But what they don't get is people have.
Right.
People have, honey, but they don't, what these people, and I feel bad for them, not all of them, because some of them actually do know what they're doing. Some of them actually are like, wait a minute, don't you know all the good things we're doing?
They believe it.
That's the stuff that I used to say, Chris.
Yep.
I used to say, why would you attack something good? Now, have you looked at our social betterment? Are you crazy? You know how many people we've got off drugs? You know how many marriages we saved? Yeah, what? You know how many outreach programs we have? And I used to think people were crazy. Like you. You know, saying, yeah, I have checked it out, and it's bull. You know what I mean? And I'm like, you're nuts. You're a depressive person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't listen to you anymore.
Yeah, and I would just think you're nuts. I would just absolutely think you're crazy. And I see that, you know, once in a while on Twitter, you know, I see a random young little pup, you know, just getting into Scientology, you know, and I go, oh, this poor thing, you know?
It so boggles the mind. Like, I'm not a psych major, never have been, but it makes me want to study psychology to see the mind at work. Cause I've seen letters and I've seen documentation of people talking about how bad it is that people are trying to talk them into going to a psychiatrist, or how people are trying to talk them to getting help outside, and they're like, you know, they're like begging for help within, and
oh,
it's
I
just,
know.
Well.
It's very sad, I know.
I want to know, because Kirstie Alley, again, I know, I've heard you say, so I'm going to be really respectful and careful with this, I've heard you say that you don't want to talk bad about other actors and actresses,
mm-hmm.
because that's just unprofessional, and it's not becoming, and like you said before, it's just ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But Kirstie Alley referred to you as an enemy on the Howard Stern show.
Mm-hmm.
What I do on this podcast, like going to the empty org and talking to people and paying attention to what people say, I connect dots a lot on this show because I feel like Scientology is like the UFO phenomenon. It's like you believe somebody's story, but it still doesn't mean anything to you until you experience it in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But I've connected the dots in my little Scientology conspiracy theory, and the whole thing with the enemy thing, I started seeing on your show to talking about enemies, and somebody else was called an enemy somewhere else, and I'm going, wait a minute, who has enemies, especially your religion?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know, back in the day, Scientology, Leah Remini, if Kirstie Alley and you were reversed, would you have been on Howard Stern show talking about how Kirstie Alley was your enemy?
Probably.
Okay. That's just the mindset to give you. Okay.
Huh?
That's just the mindset you're in when you're there. Is this, you know?
Oh, yeah. There's nobody that was really kind of off limits.
Must have done something.
When you're protecting the savior of mankind, right, and your eternity, literally you'll hear, you know, my eternity's at stake. You know, my eternity. We're saving mankind. We're the only answer to mankind. You know, it's an extremist proposition. There's not extremists in Scientology. Scientologists are extremists.
I don't mean to laugh at that, but...
No. I mean, it's true. It's the truth. There's no kind of assimilating information where, you know, you kind of can think this and you kind of can think that from this, you know, writings of L. Ron Hubbard is to follow, you know, it's to be followed exactly. And everybody says and thinks the same thing, or you are dealt with. And so that's the way we dealt with enemies. We call them enemies. We call them suppressive people. We call them merchants of chaos, merchants of fear, people who, you know, bigots, racists, whatever word communicates or attempts to communicate to the general public. You see, they like to associate themselves with real religious organizations, and you know, that way they can keep saying the line. You know, other religions were persecuted, and we're a new religion. I mean, these are all things we were taught to say. I said it too.
And you believed it?
Wholeheartedly.
Okay.
Now, there were things that I would lie about, because there's L. Ron Hubbard wrote policies about the public image, and you don't say the truth. You give acceptable truth. Right? So you wouldn't tell somebody what you really thought, because it wasn't like they weren't there yet to accept that kind of truth. So you had to give it to them in little doses, you know. But so lying
is
not,
okay.
Yeah, you know, quote unquote lying, because you're protecting the technology of man.
That's why people lie. People who do know, they lie about Xenu, is because they don't want anyone getting sick.
Well, yes, we read that people literally can die, get pneumonia and die, get cancer and die from not reading the materials correctly at the time that they're supposed to read it. And then they make you sign a document that says you, for every time you violate and tell what the OT levels are, it's $100,000.
Are you serious? I thought it was just because you were indoctrinated in that say. You're fined for that?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard that before. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm still learning stuff about this. The reason I chuckle
every time you hear a Scientologist say, I've never heard that Xenu story, they're absolutely lying. Absolutely lying. But it's not really so much about, you know, aliens. I mean, the Xenu story is an alien story, but the concept is that you have other beings. Your body is made up of other spirits, composed of. Your whole body is composed of other beings. And that's why, you know, when you get up to the confidential levels, that you're basically dealing with those entities, not yourself.
Okay. Well, just to clarify, I want to clarify why I chuckled earlier. Is I was thinking about the turtleneck video by Tom Cruise. I got really angry, kind of unhealthily angry when you said that only a Scientologist can help. That maybe that really drove me nuts, because people help each other
you go
all the
on
time.
Some of their social betterment.
I should find out more about what they do, right?
No. What I'm saying is, if you're mad at that, you should go on their social betterment sites. They are basically the only group doing anything about 9/11.
Oh, okay.
Haiti. Any catastrophe that's happened. It's Scientology were the people on the scene. The only people on the scene doing anything.
Insane. And that's also insulting to the other people. Who,
well, to the real people who were actually doing something.
The civil servants who risked and some lost their lives doing that, yeah.
Right.
Hey, this season of Aftermath is going to be amazing. It's really kind of pretty obvious what's being covered. I'm sure there's stuff that still hasn't been covered. I imagine it's difficult, because I know, being a podcaster that talks to a lot of the same people you've talked to, that that's covering the subject. Specifically every week now. Inspired by you, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
But I blame John Alex Wood for causing it, because he talked trash about Amy Scobie, and I was like, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm doing a podcast. So I decided...
Well, he does, you know, that's his job. He
right.
works for, you know, a Scientology department called OSA,
mm-hmm.
which is Office of Special Affairs, him and his girlfriend.
Yep.
And that's what they do all day, all night. You know, they own a PR company that I'm sure is being paid by the organization. And so that's what they do all day, all night. And that's pretty sad. It's pretty sad that that's what they do all day and all night, is attack people telling their stories.
Right. Okay. This is true. So because I made these connections to these people and talked to all these people, what I have heard some of is people are upset with TV networks. They're upset with Leah Remini and Mike Rinder. They're upset with the newspapers. They're upset with Tony. Everybody wants their story to be told. And everybody's story needs to and will eventually get told, I believe. Not necessarily on every format. And that's why I'm glad I'm able to do a podcast and help out with that. Because I feel like a lot of people come on your show and people think it's scripted and blocked out and there's makeup people and there's lighting. But they come on the podcast.
I don't think people think that.
They want people to think that. They want people to think that.
Yeah, but people don't think that.
That's good.
So what? People have makeup on. I mean, the people are watching the show. People have read my book. I mean, there's nothing that they say that actually makes any sense to the general public.
No, not on the Scientology side. No way. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But there are people who have their own opinions they've developed. They're like, they don't know. You're worried that I may have had a bad perception of you. And that there are people who have a bad perception of you because you are a celebrity. And because everybody wants you to talk to them. And you can only spread yourself so thin.
I see what you're saying. You know, I thought you had a bit. Only because you DM'd me saying, I know I'm not big enough for you to be on my podcast. And I was like, you got the wrong girl. Not that I'm going to do everybody's podcast, you know, because, you know, I actually... I'm a mom and a wife and a daughter and a sister and, you know, I have friends. I can't do every podcast, but I didn't want you to think that.
No.
And I saw that you were supporting, you know, other people who have gotten out and have important stories to tell. And I know you talked to Melissa and, you know, I saw that you were supporting other people and you were telling the right story. And so, yeah, I didn't want you to have that idea of me. Like, hey, you're supporting me. I want to support you. You're supporting this group of people who are brave enough to speak out. And I'm not just talking about people on my show. I'm just talking about ex-org members, ex-Scientologists.
Right. Now, I just want to urge people to understand, because I don't like that I've heard people say negative things about you and people... Like, I didn't know what to think of you. I never gave you anything but the benefit of the doubt because I know you can reach a bigger audience. I know that you are important in what you're doing, and I know you can only make so many stops along the way.
Thank you, and I appreciate you reaching out to me, and I appreciate you not, being, you know, judgy.
Right. I wouldn't be. I mean, what kind of issues are you addressing this season? If you can talk about some of them, I know there's going to be some of the assault. What else are you covering?
Yeah, the thing that really shocked me was the things that were going on with children. Certainly, I was in the sewer for a year. I saw the child neglect, and that's what I experienced. You're separated from your families when you're in the sewer, and you are living in a dorm with other children, and you're assigned, like, a person who looks in on you. I couldn't even imagine doing that to my child. So there was definite neglect there, and I knew that from experience, but I didn't know of what was happening that just left me speechless, continues to leave me speechless. So it's difficult. We're covering some other issues having to do with children, and I'm hoping to do something about it, you know. But I'm going to say again, you know, it's those who have been affected in this way. I can't file police reports for you. You know, people have to start taking a stand. If they were witness to these crimes, they need to speak up and they need to do something about it. You don't need to tell me. You need to tell the authorities. And so I'm hoping that this season that we will have some government agencies step in.
Right. I think it's more than just doing it for yourself. There's other people who are potential victims that haven't been victimized yet.
Well, I'm not doing
about.
It for myself. I don't have a claim.
I just mean in general, people should consider that, you know.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, sometimes people go, my stories, you know, who cares, you know? I care. People care.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, people do care.
I think what you're doing is amazing, and I hope you continue, and I hope we can cover more also. What, you know, this is something, again, I'm just saying, we want to see everything, right? And there's only so many hours to fill. But we want to see everything, and I think there's a lot of coverage that hasn't been done yet on the people who are affected adversely and terribly by Scientology, who weren't ever Scientologists.
Well, what do you mean?
Okay, so sometimes there's a family member who's disconnected.
Yeah.
Who never even thought about Scientology. Sometimes there's somebody who took a job with a wise company not knowing, and a couple years in, they're about to make big bonuses, and their bonuses are being withheld until they take Scientology classes.
Well, I don't even know that that's legal.
It's happening. I mean, there's legal cases happening.
I'm just saying,
yeah.
There's recourse. You know, yeah. we live in an age where you could literally Google those words and figure it out.
Right.
And see if you have anything, any recourse to your story. And if we continue to just, talk about it, I can only do so much. Right.
Right.
I could, just because I'm an actress doesn't mean I can pick up the phone and call the CIA. I need people whose stories, you know, that they can talk to. But you don't need me to do that. That's the thing.
That's something I want to get at with you. It does feel like in the first season you kind of took the weight of the ex community on your shoulders. And I think you're finding you don't have to do that anymore because more people are able to help. More people are on board.
And we have so much support from the viewers. You know, a lot of times viewers ask us, what can you do? And I go, you're doing it. By supporting the people who are brave enough to come on the show, my God, thank you. That's enough. But listen, if you want to write your congressman and say, hey, look at their tax exempt status, if you want to write the IRS, If you have any influence in that area, then use it. You know, if you're passionate about it, if you're passionate about what you're seeing. But you don't have to do any of that. Simply watching the show is sending a message to the people who are brave enough to be on it that they are being heard. And that's amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
And I want you to know, you probably already know this, it's working. It's really working. I don't want to say any details, but you might be aware of this. I've been made aware of a person who has contacted somebody who is currently, right now, a Scientologist, now attending org, session.org, and this person has communicated to someone that they've heard my podcast, they've read Tony Ortega's blog, they've seen, and it really came mostly from Aftermath, Scientology in the Aftermath, and Jeff Augustine, and this has influenced this person. They went out, and it's just a matter of them getting out. So it's working. It's definitely
That's
working.
Amazing. Thank you. Really, and thank you to everybody who supported us. It's been without you guys supporting us and talking about it, you know, we couldn't do it. We couldn't, you know, going clear really kind of opened up the path for us. And they did an amazing job, and I think because people in the entertainment industry saw, okay, you can tell the truth about Scientology. If you have the truth on your side, you'll be okay. And I really think that cleared the way. And then I hope somebody takes the torch after me, you know, because this is one of the hardest jobs I've ever had to do.
I imagine it's not fun. It's not a game to you. Yeah. This is life.
Yeah.
This is life we're talking about.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so I normally do the end of an interview with a guest. I do something called 10 Questions Think Fast, which sometimes tends to end up being the best part of the show, or not as fast as I hoped it would be, but we're going to try to do this. Are you ready to do 10 Questions Think Fast?
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is it like things that I would have to have learned in school?
No. No finding why. Okay. And if you don't like a question, you can pass. And
yeah,
this is one or two you might
answers,
pass.
I need to know the rules.
It's whatever you want to answer.
Okay, go.
All right. Number one. This is a good friend of yours. So obviously you have a favorite J-Lo song, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite J-Lo song?
Oh, okay. My favorite... Probably, well, okay, it's called Good Hit.
Okay. All right, number two. True or false, Scientology in and of itself is bigoted.
True.
I agree. Number three. I'm sorry. Tom Cruise is complicit, clueless, or cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
What was the first two?
Complicit or clueless or cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I'll accept all three if you want to answer that.
No, I would say one and two.
A little bit of both. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Number four, what is your favorite way to relax?
Watching mindless reality shows. That's probably,
mindless reality shows. Oh, can I point this out real quick? This just came up in my head after saying this. On the beginning of your show on the special Monday night, there was that part about how Scientology sent that note that the difference between a real reality show and your reality show is, and they said all the bad things that your show is to Scientology.
What?
They said all these bad things about your show, basically. That's the difference between a reality show and your reality show. No, the difference between any reality show and your reality show is yours is real.
We don't have a reality. We're not doing a reality.
It's a docuseries.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, I can tell you it's real because I've talked to a lot of the same people. It's there's no.
I don't need the church to validate anything I do.
No, you're so good. All right, number five. How many pairs of shoes do you have?
Oh my God, I don't know. Jesus, I don't.
That many?
Yeah, you know, because I'm a hoarder. You know, I have my shoes that I bought from Payless, you know, when I was 16. I still have shoes from there.
All right.
Yeah.
So God knows is the answer. Number six. What was the favorite role you've ever done that was not King of Queens?
This one.
This one?
Yeah, well,
it's a more of a life role.
Yeah, because I'm so passionate about it. I'm passionate.
We'll go with it. All right, number seven. True or false? Kevin, I can say this because I'm heavy set. Okay. Number seven. True or false? Kevin James is the sexiest heavyset man in Hollywood.
So true.
All right. I thought you'd like that. Number eight. You mentioned earlier, you're inspired by Lucille Ball, and I know you're inspired by, like, Gilda Radner and Carol Burnett. Mm-hmm. What are the chances we get to see you in a Carol Burnett-style show? I would love to see that.
Oh, I would love that, too.
Let's make it happen.
Okay.
I don't have anybody I can call and pick up the phone and say that to, but let's make it happen.
Me neither.
Oh, come on. Right. Number nine. Diana really was the better female lead on Cheers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 10. You've inspired...
Oh, I get what you're saying. I was waiting. I said, like, I'm waiting for you to say the rest of that.
But do you agree?
Oh, come on.
I really believe that, though. I think she ran her career and she left.
I don't want to take away, you know, from people's things, you know, and I also feel a bit about, you know, answering the other one, because it's just...
I'm sorry.
I'm talking about from a Scientology point of view.
Okay.
You know, I actually feel bad for him, because I know that, you know, he's very aware of the policies that affect him as well. And, you know, I knew people that knew him before. He was fully... engage with Scientology, and they say he was a different person. You know, he was loving and, you know, insecure and wanted everybody's opinion, and, you know, he was a different person.
Okay.
And so I know deep down there's got to be some suffering there, too, with his own daughter. So, anyway, go ahead.
All right. I mean, I know people called you asshole, but you know, they don't ever tell you you're too nice. You're nice.
In certain aspects, I am, you know, because I want to believe in people.
That was a really nice thing to say.
But again, when you're a bully, and when you come up against people that are telling the truth, or you come up against people who are victims, you're going to see a very different side of me. A very different side of me, and I'm never going to apologize for that.
And you shouldn't.
No.
Number 10.
Yes.
Number 10, you've inspired and encouraged, you inspired this show, you've inspired and encouraged so many people out there. What inspires you?
People inspire me. Courageous people inspire me. I mean, it's even everyday people who I see helping other people or holding a door. I mean, I'm like, great, great. There are good people in the world.
There are good people in the world.
Yes, exactly.
Not to pat myself on the back, but, you know.
Huh?
Not to pat myself on the back, but I'm proof.
Yes, right. You know, I really do. I am encouraged and inspired by people who do the right thing. I really am inspired by that.
We live in a time where we need more of that. We need at least more visibility that there's more of that. People are afraid.
And there are amazing people in the world, you know. But, you know, we're talking about, you know, who's in our, who we can see, who we're experiencing, you know. I want to see more people speaking up, speaking out in general. I want to see more of that in the world.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
I
want
to see more people pulling over when there's an accident. You know, I want to see more people being good to each other. I want to see more people being helpful. And I think we're at a time now, you know, with social media. I don't have that, thank God. You know, I really thank God for my fans. I don't have asshole fans.
Right.
I don't have people writing me, you're chubby, you're skinny, you're fat, I don't have that. But every day, what you say to people that you know and don't know, you know, that creates the person. That creates an environment. That creates the world. I believe it has a rollout effect, you know. And so if we start being a little kinder, maybe to ourselves, we can start being kinder to other people. I think a lot of stuff that you see on Twitter is and social media is what people think of themselves, you know.
A lot of projection.
A lot of projection. And I always say, oh, that person must feel that way about themselves, you know, that they're not good enough, that they're not, you know, looking right or not looking, you know, it's like, this is what you think of you. You know, you're beautiful just the way you are. Not everybody looks like a Kardashian, you know?
That's right. That's right. I love that. Every bit of that. So you have Troublemaker, of course, been out for a long time now, but it's still a great book and still relevant. Still recommend it.
I feel like, you know, people, it's just not about Scientology, right? People still writing me saying, wow, your book helped me. I'm like, oh, you said that? No.
Well, no, I actually was inspired by the stories of your auditions.
Yeah, thanks.
That's actually not only inspiring, but helpful from a perspective of how to handle yourself. And how not to, right? So you kind of gave, it's like a handbook no one asked you to write, and you wrote it, and it's great.
No, thank you. Thank you, honey.
When does, no problem, no problem at all. When does season 2 start?
I don't know, I haven't gotten an official date yet.
Okay.
But I'll DM you.
Well, I appreciate that, I really do.
Okay.
So what I do, I'm going to do one last thing here before I let you go, and remember what we talked about earlier, I want you to stay on the line
sure.
or something. But, and I'm sorry if we're going just a little bit longer than I said.
That's okay.
I do on this show, I talked about how I connect the dots. I went to the org. I've called on live on air to Narconon. I've talked to people. I've read documents. I've gotten to know people. For anyone who does, I actually talked to someone who is a friend of mine on Twitter during the Aftermath special, who I never interact with. I think we both play hashtag games, and I think they may have their own show or something. But they were down on you because they saw your tweet that was about, like, don't worry about what I'm doing. Worry about why you're worried what I'm doing. And that
why were they upset about that?
They thought it was pretentious, I guess, something like that. They thought it was, like, kind of didn't really mean much coming from you. It was kind of hollow. And I said, maybe you missed the point of what it was. It's about Scientology. And they said, no. I know it's about Scientology, and I know I watch the show, and I watch her. It just felt hollow to me. I have a perception of her. So I just want to do this right now because I don't know you real well,
mm-hmm.
but I know enough. Between this conversation, which I think is one of the most conversational ones I've heard you have, which I'm proud of, but I know things that happened over a month ago, a series of events that led to this podcast, to you being on this podcast. And, you know, I've never been, like, a major, I'm not someone will put you down. I've never been a major Lyra Remini super fan. Like, I didn't watch a lot of King of Queens. I didn't know much about your career.
Okay.
But I was inspired by what you were doing, and I did. I knew who you were, and I loved your work. I loved you in Old School and all that. Mm-hmm. But when you started doing this show, I started going, well, you know what? Wouldn't it be awesome if someday Lyra Remini would be on my show and I can interview her? And that's the person to interview. And the inspiration for all this. And I didn't think it was ever possible. So I know that from the series of events that led to this, that for those things to happen the way they did, and for you to be here now today on this show, not that it's like some major miracle, but it doesn't happen if you don't have a huge heart.
Thank you.
So any super fan, you're welcome, any super fan that might ask me, what do you know about Lyra Remini? I would say she's everything you ever hoped or wanted or imagined she might be. And I'm a super fan now, too.
Oh, sweetheart. Thank you so much.
And I'm a super fan of Lyra Remini, the human being.
Thank you. You made my day, honey. Thank you for that.
I just thought that needed to be said. It's not said enough. All we hear about is the asshole stuff. So here's the real stuff here. I mean that sincerely.
I don't want to say, no, I'm not an asshole, but I appreciate that.
No problem. So thank you so much. Remember what we talked about earlier? But thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on, and I wish you nothing but the best with everything.
Thank
and if I can help you,
thank you,
you're very welcome. If I can do any more to help you moving forward, you know how to reach me in DM or whatever.
Thank you for your support, really.
No problem. You take care.
Okay, sweetheart. You too.
All right, that was Lyra Remini. My conversation with Lyra Remini. I hope I did my job and got to the sum of her efficiently or sufficiently for everybody. Hope you all enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed speaking to her. Of course, a couple things came up since that interview. She was named a permanent cast member on Kevin Can Wait for the second season. I can't wait to watch that. I will be watching that. I did watch the last two episodes of the first season and love her character, Vanessa. I think it's a great dynamic. Different than they had on the other show. And I can't wait to see that. Also, big congratulations to Lyra Remini on the Troublemaker Life movie coming up that I just recently heard about. And, of course, everybody look for Scientology in the aftermath. It's the main deal here. You think about the past first season in the Monday night, the Memorial Day special, which was fabulous, very good. Check that out on A&E.com. You can stream the episodes there, or there's other pay stream services you can go to and probably view those as well. Again, don't forget, next week, Victoria Britton, very serious thing we're going to be covering here, the whole thing with Kyle Brennan. It's real important, I think, and I want y'all to come back for that for the next couple weeks. And again, thank you so much, Lyra Remini, for being a part of the show. And for being who she is. That about sums it up. Have a great week, everybody. I speak for your followers, and I speak for your ex-followers, and I speak for the curious outsiders looking in. And you remain silent in the shadows and don't let your balls drop enough to come out and say something? Then I say, who do you speak for, Mr. Miscavige?
Anything on earth that says, don't listen to your mom and dad. Talk to your mom and dad. That's bad.
Yeah. Absolutely believes his own bullshit. Now, does that mean he believed it from day one? I don't know.
Hubbard reveals to them that he is the Antichrist.
Scientology has not helped you. You have helped yourself.
Yeah. I'm absolutely positive that happened because I was physically abused in Scientology.
We're crossing the line into torture.
Do you think there is a rape culture in Scientology?
I think that there is a culture in Scientology that children are not children. So, yeah.
At Carrabba's Italian Grill, folks always seem to be saying,
wow!
Especially now, because you can take home our delicious made-from-scratch lasagna, layered pasta with meat sauce, creamy ricotta, and mozzarella cheese, absolutely free.
Homemade lasagna for free? Wow!
Order one of your Carrabba's favorites, Chicken Brian, Chicken Marsala, or Pollo Rosso Maria, and you can take home our made-from-scratch lasagna.
For tomorrow night's dinner, free? Wow!
Hurry into Carrabba's today and get a free homemade lasagna for tomorrow, now through January 29th.
Wow!
Carrabba's, Italian worth talking about.
This is New York firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Every day, a part of every sub you buy at Firehouse Subs helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. And now, for a limited time, they're introducing the Daily Sub Special. Every day, get a medium sub of the day for just $5.55. They kick it off with Meatball Monday and finish it off with Italian Sunday, with something delicious every day in between for just $5.55. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Tap the banner now to learn more.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.